Just like to introduce Colin. I know he's spoken already this morning. Colin Barnes is the leader of River Church, which is made up of four different congregations, one in Engerfield Green, one in Marlow, one in Maidenhead, and this one in Slough, even though we're meeting here. And he's an amazing man of God who's going to share his heart with you this morning. So, Colin, we just bless you. Thank you for coming. It's been great to have you here, or it is great to have you here. And if you'd like to say what's going on.
Yeah, you'll all enjoy this. This is great. This is very heartwarming. And again, it's from New Zealand. So they're blessing us a lot in these days. So enjoy.
Have you ever wondered what we might see if we could pull back the curtain of time to that very first Christmas? If we could, I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking over heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things people were doing down on earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in mind when I created Earth. I feel so far away from my kids down there.
Why?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't like what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lord?
Time for us to step in.
Shall we read as a young Lord? Next little lesson?
No, I don't think we should send an army. Maybe it's just one person.
What person?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, we're sending just one person. It'll have to be someone very powerful and very strong. Because there's tons of people down there.
No, they don't have to be strong. They'll be going as a newborn baby.
A newborn baby?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, this plan's rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who will protect him. Maybe a great ruler or mighty king?
Actually, I was thinking I could send him to a young peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
A peasant girl?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that! My Lord, I see your plan is to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby, born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
The Prince of Heaven? Our Prince?
Your son?
No, this is too risky. Sending the prince in disguise as a tiny baby, born not to kings, but to humble villagers. Surely our prince cannot be born in a cottage. He must be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
Phew.
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable? Surrounded by animals?
Filled with hay?
Filled with poo?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, how will people know he's there? What if they don't notice?
Those who are looking will find him, and his mission will bring all people closer to me, even if they do something really wrong. When the prince is done, nothing will get between them and my love.
Can we leave some clues for the people looking? Like in the stars?
Clues in the stars? Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to him.
Can we sing for him?
Yes, can we sing?
God looked at their hopeful faces, and his heart was touched by their love for the prince.
All right, you can sing.
Yay!
But not in front of the whole world. That would just be weird. And no kings or rulers.
How about we sing for some chicken? That's a lonely job.
Those blokes could do with some cheering up.
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
You know the rest of the story. An angel visited a humble girl with a courageous heart and told her the good news. She will have a baby, and he will be the Prince of Heaven, who would help Earth to be close to God again. As planned, the baby was born in a stable about as far from a palace as you can get. A group of
to some strange clues in the stars. They packed their belongings and followed the stars right to a baby. And of course, a bunch of lonely shepherds were guiding their sheep when all of a sudden the sky was lit up by thousands of angels singing. Nobody would ever expect that.
Yeah, it's just finishing now. Brilliant. Thank you very much. I had to play that. That was fantastic. I'm sure you weren't expecting that. Oh, no, you weren't. Oh, no, you weren't. Don't tell me, Porkies. Yeah. Good. Well, that's handy. Because I want to talk a little bit about that, really, because I have a strong sense that God wants to surprise us again this Christmas. I just have a strong sense that he does, that God wants to visit each and every one of us in a surprising way and to meet us in our deepest needs in a way that we couldn't have predicted. That's the kind of God he is. He shows up in ways that we don't expect. And for me, that says so much. They won't be expecting that. We weren't expecting that. And yet it was the best news this world has ever had for those who wanted to see. So I want to talk a little bit about that, how God's going to bring peace to us this Christmas through Jesus. But before I do, I just want to tell a little story. No expense spared on this, obviously. Because about 2,600 years ago or so, there was a man who didn't have much peace. In fact, he had a great deal of trouble sleeping. Anybody here have trouble sleeping? Well, this man had trouble sleeping. And it was because of a strange dream. A troubling dream. You'd have thought this man had everything. He was the ruler of the known world, the superpower of the day. No, that wasn't America. It wasn't China. It wasn't Russia. It wasn't any of the countries we might expect to be superpower. He was a Chaldean in a region we now know as Iraq. And his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And he was troubled. Oh, I just can't get any sleep. This wretched dream keeps troubling me. What shall I do? I know. I'm going to summon all my wise men and all my magicians and ask them to tell me my dream and tell me what it means. Then I might get some peace. So he asked them, can you tell me my dream?
How can I answer if you won't tell me your dream?
Well, let me tell you, if you don't answer me, you're going to lose your head. Can you tell me my dream, my wise man?
If you need me to tell you your dream, you need to tell me what the dream is all about.
Another wise guy. Let me tell you, if you don't tell me my dream, you're for the chop. And that goes for the rest of you so-called wise men and magicians. You tricksters. Now, fortunately, I actually had a faithful servant who told me about a guy called Daniel. He was in prison. You could interpret dreams. So he got this guy to come and speak to me. And this guy said he wasn't a magician or anything like that, but he had the Spirit of God would reveal it to him. So I thought, okay. And anyway, he went away for a while and prayed to his God, and he came back to me with the dream. And he told me about my dream, and this is it. This is my dream. It's just the thing that kept me awake. I dreamt of this huge statue with a head and shoulders of gold, with a chest of silver, thighs of bronze, and then legs of iron, which then mixed with clay as it got towards the feet. And then I watched, and as I watched, a little stone. Oh, there's a little stone. A little stone, uncut by human hands, was cut and then thrown at the statue. And it smashed the whole statue to smithereens, and it all got blown away in the wind. And that little stone grew and grew and grew and grew until it filled the whole earth. I don't know what that meant, but it kept coming to me night after night. And this guy, Daniel, told me the dream. And then he said, this is what that dream meant. He said that that statue represented the kingdoms of this world. That the gold head and shoulders was my kingdom. The most glorious kingdom. The most powerful kingdom on the nation. I already knew that. It's great. I built it from nothing. And he said, the next kingdom would come after me. A slightly worse kingdom, and after that, a slightly worse kingdom, and then a really hard and powerful kingdom would come, but it would be brittle. And then God would do something in that day and establish a different kingdom, his own kingdom. And that kingdom would come and grow and grow and grow and destroy all the other kingdoms and grow and grow and grow and fill the whole earth. Wow. Funny thing, you know, after he told me the dream, I stopped dreaming. And I could sleep again. Brought me peace. Maybe Daniel read about Isaiah 100 years before that. Because Isaiah predicted it, didn't he? In Isaiah chapter 9, we read in verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." Maybe when Daniel was thinking about that little rock that was growing and growing and growing, the increase of that rock, there seemed to be no end. Maybe he could tie that back to the prophecy of that madman Isaiah, who said the kingdom of God was going to come through a baby. Maybe he could see that. Because, you know, that is the last thing you'd expect. If we were looking for the kingdom of God to come and smash all the kingdoms of the world, and to gradually grow and fill, to fill up the whole world, the last thing we'd expect would be a little one like that. Just look at the little one there. The last thing we would expect is for God to say, there's the answer. This is the answer to all of our problems. This is what's going to bring heaven to earth. This is what's going to change the world. And yet that's what he did in sending Jesus. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Because 700 years later, after Isaiah, 600 years after Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, the Romans had brought peace to the whole world, it seemed. You know, if I had a little man here, I could dress him up as a Roman. We could march around and... Yeah, I am. I like to dress up. I'm determined to get you. You know that, don't you? I don't know you yet, but, you know, I'm going to get you. They brought peace to the whole world through iron. And yet one of their own philosophers, a man called Epictetus, he wrote this. He said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, the Pax Romana, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace to the heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace." Kings can bring peace to the world in one way, but not true peace. They cannot bring peace to our hearts. And this is the kind of peace that God was wanting to bring. So I'm just going to read a bit about those angels. coming to announce that good news to those shepherds who needed cheering up. They've got a tough job. As it said in that drama. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people." Even as I read that, you know, there's this morning, there are hearts in the room that are afraid. And I really feel the Lord saying again to us this morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be afraid. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ, or Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So in another place it says, "toward men on whom his favour rests." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. They might have taken a lamb with them. "Let's go to that place and find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We're told that the people wondered at the things that the shepherds told them. They marvelled at the things that were spoken of by the angels. It would make you wonder, really. Again, if you just look at the baby. We heard a baby cry a second ago. If you just look at the baby and say, that is God's answer, that's God's plan. You would think, how? How? I could think of 100 better ideas. Very quickly. How is this the answer to the deepest needs of our heart? Of course, that to tell that story properly, we have to wait till Easter. But it was there. It was there for us to wonder about. And they must have wondered. We didn't really know it until he grew up. But when he grew up, that young boy said and did remarkable things. He healed the sick. He drove out demons. He raised the dead. He accepted everyone who came to him, even prostitutes and tax collectors and those other people would not want to associate with. He happily spent time with and ate with them, drank with them, welcomed them. In fact, the only people he got shirty with or antsy with at all were the religious guys. And that was because they refused to let people, the ordinary people, see the loving God that was there for them. They got in the way, basically. The people that were supposed to be helping ordinary people like you and I know that there's a God in heaven who cares for us. We're getting in the way. Making God out to be too religious, too angry. And so when he grew up, he said some interesting things. He said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." And he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And again, those words, I think they ring out through the centuries to us today. My peace I give to you. I give it to you. I give it to you this Christmas time. My peace I give to you freely. As a gift, I give you my peace. You're going to have trouble. Yes, I know you've got troubles. But take heart. I've overcome the world. I will overcome for you. So could it really be that the baby born in Palestine Was the rock dreamt of by Nebuchadnezzar, uncut by human hands? Was the child prophesied over by Isaiah, called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace? Could it be? More importantly, could he do the things that he said he was going to do, that people said he was going to do? Could he really bring peace to the human heart? Could he really change a life? You know, I want to give you a personal testimony, because I grew up a fearful man. I grew up running away from everything. I grew up running away from people. I thought people were better than me. I honestly thought that everyone had life sus, and I was the only one who was a jumble, a mess on the inside. Everyone else seemed to have things together, seemed to be able to do stuff and be confident. And yet inside I was a total wreck, a bag of nerves. Even though I was doing quite well at school and other things, I was just a wreck. And so I'd run. I would run. You know, when my parents would ask me to perform at family gatherings, you know, at Christmas time, at times like this, we would have gathered with all the aunts and uncles, and all the kids would do stuff in front of the aunts and uncles just for fun. And my parents would say, come on, you sing that song or you do this. I would cry. I would actually say no, no, no. And if they tried to push me, I would cry and ruin the time and run out of the room. I was that shy. I couldn't even perform anything in front of family. I would run from that situation. And when I was at school, I chose subjects like mathematics because they were either right or wrong. You know, I hated to expose my heart for fear that people would ridicule me. So in art and stuff like that, I used to get laughed at. Because I was never really exposing what was going on inside, I was too fearful. And so people would, you know, my art was rubbish. And people could see that. I wasn't putting myself into it. I got laughed at from that, and I ran from those subjects. I hated being judged by other people and being subject to their judgment. So I chose maths, which was either right or wrong. I went into a career, computer science, because that was either right or wrong. You know, and so I just, because I was scared. I was just running scared the whole time. You know, and most of you know me now as someone a bit different from that. And I can honestly say that I'm not fearful of people anymore. I've stopped running. But it's a joke, really, that I should lead a church. Really. The running man is asked to lead a group of people. That's ridiculous. The man who's scared of people. Why? How can that be? I tell you, it can only be because that baby that the shepherds saw that day, that the angels told them about, that Nebuchadnezzar was told about by Daniel, that Isaiah prophesied, that baby really is the Messiah, really is the Prince of Peace, really is the Son of God, really does change lives. Really. Not imaginary. Not hopefully. Not wishful thinking. But in reality, in real life, he changes lives. I stopped running when I discovered his love in my heart. Because he would say to me over and over again, every day, I love you. Every day. And it would wreck me and I'd cry. Every day that he would think me worthy enough to die for me, that he would think me worthy enough to speak to. Aww. But that's what that baby came to do, to bring a true peace to our hearts. From that day, the day I invited Jesus into my heart, peace entered my life and my confidence started to grow. And that's what Jesus is putting on offer for us today. And I want to, just a simple message, really, but that's what I felt he wanted to say to us, that despite whatever troubles we are facing, he knows about them. And he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. And just as he gave the world a gift of peace, which was good news, joy for all the people, 2,000 years ago, and since that day, the kingdom of God has grown. We can look back with 2,000 years of history and see the faithfulness of God in seeing the kingdom of God come. We can look forward to our lives, the rest of our lives, and know of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And today, God wants to give us gifts of peace. But it's for those who have eyes. It's for those who have ears to receive it. Because that baby born in the stable. They certainly wouldn't expect that. You know, it's insignificant. It's an insignificant gift, and yet it was the most significant gift that the world has ever had. And I'm telling you right now, God is coming into our lives this Christmas time with an insignificant gift, which is going to change our lives. There's stuff going to happen in your lives, I prophesy it right now, this Christmas, there's stuff going to happen in the lives of the people in this room that's going to appear insignificant to those who have not got eyes to see or ears to hear what the Spirit is doing. But for those of you who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, a gift, a baby's been born this Christmas. And it may not be a physical baby, but it will be an insignificant gift from the Father. A gift of his love to you, and it's going to change your life forever. It's going to bring a deeper sense of peace. That's what I felt the Holy Spirit say. So let's close our eyes. Let's pray, because I want to finish there. And if, as I've spoken, you've said, yeah, I need more peace in my life this Christmas. There's unrest. Either I'm not sleeping well, or I'm worried, I'm fearful about certain situations, not knowing what to do about other situations. If there's that, if you know there's that unrest that you're looking for peace to come to, then whilst everybody's got their eyes closed, I'd just like you to raise your hands, because I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, bless you, Lord. Well, Father, you saw those hands, and you know those lives. And I pray right now, Father, that you would give the people that raised their hands the eyes of Zechariah, who was the old man in the temple. So Simeon, he was the old man in the temple. And when he saw the baby Jesus, he said, now you can dismiss your servant in peace, because my eyes have seen the consolation of Israel. My eyes have seen the glory of God. And I pray, Father, that for these people, Lord God, that their eyes right now, over this Christmas, over this restful break, Father, that their eyes would see your promise in their hearts, in their lives, Lord God, that their gift of your peace would come, that your wisdom would come for the future, for them, for their situations, Lord Jesus. And they may not understand it all, Lord God. They may not see how it's going to work out, but they will see a sign that you're with them, a sign that, just like the baby, Emmanuel, God with us. A sign, Lord God, a sign that they recognize that you are with them in their pain, in their struggle, in their uncertainty, and that you're bringing the solution in a way they never expected. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And for all of us, Lord God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing in our hearts, in our lives, and in the lives of those around us, that we may be peacemakers. We may be your real sons, true sons. You say, blessed are the peacemakers. They are sons of God. Help us, Lord Jesus, this Christmas time to be aware, to have our eyes open, our ears open, Lord God, to see what you're doing, that we may love those around us, that we may be peace bringers, Lord Jesus, hope bringers in the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you for this place, for these people. Bless them all, Lord Jesus. Let your face shine upon each one of us. And grant us peace and rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Colin. That's just a testimony on the back of that. I've suddenly realized the first time anyone has put into words why someone like myself, who was passionate for language and music, did physics and maths at A-level and then ended up in civil engineering. And I should never have been involved in leading a church. So I was running, I didn't realize it. I also want to prophesy over this congregation. The things that happened this morning, the things that God's been saying, just I keep seeing how effective, how brilliant this congregation is going to be in reaching out to its community in every aspect, every cultural situation. everything that we've been seeing right from the flash mob at the beginning, as a very definite evangelistic thing in the middle of a shopping mall. But all the languages and the culture and everything else, it's just so exciting being here. So that's brilliant. What we're going to do now is going to add to the lack of obvious structure. But I think that's good. I think they weren't expecting that. It was just such a wonderful word. And we've got to learn, I think, how to flow in the spirit whilst the everyday is going on around us. Because the worst thing that can happen is that we think that it happens in here when we're being religious. And Jean and I have spoken against the religious spirit in this congregation, not because there is one, but because we never want to see one. And I just think, well, we can demonstrate how our freedom, and it really does destroy the work of the enemy. So what we're going to do, we're going to gradually start moving chairs out of the way. We're going to have festive drinks and nibbles and what have you right now. But I want you to remember what's been said. I want you to carry on. If you want to pray for one another, that's brilliant. We just want life to happen. Paul's going to, I think, do a song while we begin to do that. But I want to just break this whole idea that it's going to be a song. Then we're going to do this. Then we're going to do that. Then we're going to do that. Because we're not. We're going to have some refreshments. We're going to pray for one another. Paul's going to carry on leading. The children are going to come back in. We have got something that will happen right at the very end. But fortunately, it's only 20 to 3. So we've got... So this is an evening meeting which is due to finish about 10 o'clock, so we're okay. Okay. So is that all right with everyone? Are you happy with that? Always want to say, if you want specific prayers or something that Colin has said or something you just need to share with one of us at the front here, and you want specific prayer, we're happy to do that always. But generally, just want to encourage you to mix with one another, chat with one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, and expect the unexpected, because that's what God's going to do. Okay, lovely.